I'm pleased to introduce this year's commencement speaker, Rebecca Rose Lobo. Rebecca achieved high academic honors while studying at the University of Connecticut, graduating in 1995 in political science with a magna cum laude from the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. In her senior year at UConn, she led the women's basketball team to the 1995 national championship with an undefeated 35-0 record. Also that year, she won the 1995 Naismith and Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year Award. Following her graduation from UConn, she signed as a starting forward for the New York Liberty and became one of the biggest stars of the new Women's National Basketball Association. As the youngest member of the 1996 Women's Olympics basketball team, she helped her team win a gold medal in Atlanta. She's an author, sports commentator, and also very active in charitable work. In 2004, Governor Jody Rell appointed her to the University of Connecticut Board of Trustees. Please join me in welcoming Rebecca Lobo.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Hogan, trustees, faculty, and administrators, honorees, proud parents and families, and congratulations, members of the class of 2008. This is my first time giving a commencement address, and there's nothing like doing this, first of all, at a ceremony that starts 35 minutes late, but also when President Hogan gets up and says that you probably won't remember a single thing that's said today. Thank you. But let me clear something up right away. I had nothing to do with the decision to allow each of you only four tickets for your family and friends for the ceremony. I am using myself only one guest ticket. The other three were on Facebook. My husband is here. His Mother's Day gift to me was to tell me, really, a 6'4 chick looks good in a tam. And since I am pregnant, he added, maybe they'll let you keep the robe for when you get really big in that last trimester. So thank you, honey. I appreciate that. I am honored to be here. I must admit, I don't remember a single word my commencement speaker said back in 1995. It's not because my commencement speaker was Michael Bolton. It's because, as President Hogan said, I didn't attend graduation. I was in Colorado trying out for the Olympic basketball team. So I feel like an honorary member of the class of 08. I'm sure there are many proud parents in the audience today. My parents were equally proud when I got my degree, which is saying something because UConn was the one school my mother did not want me to attend. My senior year of high school, I had narrowed my choices to Stanford, Notre Dame, Northwestern Virginia, and UConn. My mother, at the time a guidance counselor in Connecticut, pulled me aside and said, "Don't you know that UConn is a safety school?" Parents, send all of your angry letters to Ruth Ann Lobo, care of Granby High School. My father, also a teacher in Connecticut, didn't say a word. That might have been because he went to UConn for 2 years. Perhaps because he lived in the jungle, his grades were not good, and he was not invited back for his fifth semester. I like to remind him that I was Phi Beta Kappa, and he was I Tappa Kega. UConn has changed considerably since my time here. While my dorm for 4 years, Watson, still looks exactly the same, the rest of the campus and its reputation in the Granby High School Guidance Department has been transformed. Many of my classes were held in Arjona and Monteith, and many intensive study sessions took place in Teds and Huskies. Of course, back then, Huskies wouldn't let anyone in unless they were actually 21. Even if they were on the basketball team. I don't know if that's still the case. Since sixth grade, when I was already 6 feet tall, people have been asking me if I was a basketball player. I am lucky that my mother always told me that I could be anything I wanted to be. So when she asked me at age 9 what I wanted to do, I said, "I want to be a pro football player." She told me I could do anything except that. So I wrote a letter to Red Auerbach and told him I was going to be the first girl to play for the Boston Celtics. It was a pretty ridiculous dream, and one I don't mind mentioning now that they're good again. But even during my senior year in college, there was no WNBA, no place in the United States for a woman to play basketball for a living. I was a political science major, and when people asked me what I was going to do, I would say, I'm going to be a lawyer. Even though I didn't want to be a lawyer, I had no interest in being a lawyer, I didn't particularly like lawyers. My brother's a lawyer. But instead of following the path I thought I had to follow, I chased my ridiculous dream. I was like the dog who chases the car, foolish enough to think I could actually catch it. And I did. I missed graduation, missed Michael Bolton, but made the Olympic team. And a year after the Olympics, the WNBA started. And a few years after that, ESPN granted my other wish to broadcast basketball games, though I'd never taken a single communications class in college. So you never know what can happen in life if you keep chasing the car. I am living testament to the power of delusional thinking. And I owe almost all of this to the University of Connecticut, whose reach, you will discover, is infinite. So 2 months after graduating, I was invited to Washington to jog with President Clinton. A UConn alumnus knew I'd missed the team's national championship visit to the White House, so we pulled some strings, and next thing I knew, I was in the White House at 7 a.m., watching the president descend the stairs, wearing his UConn hat and his UConn t-shirt. When we were done running, two other sweaty joggers and I rode back to the White House with the president in his limousine, the one with the bulletproof glass and everything. And halfway through the 15-minute ride, I realized, this can't possibly look good because we were all sweaty and all the windows were fogged up. A few years later, I was asked to fly with the president on Air Force One. I boarded the plane and literally took it all in. I took napkins, I took barf bags, I took the M&Ms with the presidential seal on them. A flight attendant, although I'm certain they're not called that on Air Force One, told me he was a UConn fan and he showed me the ropes. Now, each seat had a phone and I was told I could call anyone I wanted. But there was no numbers on the phone. What would happen, you'd pick up the phone and you'd get the Air Force One operator. You'd tell her who you were calling. So she would call the person and say, this is Air Force One, and I have a call from Rebecca Lobo. So I called every single person I knew. And not a single person was home. And the Air Force One operator doesn't leave messages. I so desperately wanted my parents to answer so I could stay. You still want to know what I'm going to do with a liberal arts degree? So this UConn fan was giving me a tour of the plane. And as we were walking towards the front of the plane, we passed a room that had a big carpet with a big presidential seal, and then the oak desk, and sitting behind the oak desk was President Clinton working on his speech. And as I walked by, he looked up and looked over his glasses and said, Rebecca, thanks for joining us today. I said, no problem, Mr. President, I will do that in service to my country. And as we keep getting the tour, we go to the front of the plane, and that's where the president's quarters are. There was a bed in there in case, I guess, he needs to take power naps. And next to the area where their bed was, there was a bathroom. There was a shower. I can't imagine taking a shower on an airplane when you might hit turbulence, but there was a shower. There was a clothes steamer for when it gets a little wrinkly. And next to that was a toilet. And the flight attendant said to me, do you want your picture taken sitting on the president's toilet? And I said, actually, no, I have no interest in having my picture taken sitting on the president's toilet. And honest to God, he said, it's the picture everyone wants. And that is when it was very clear to me that he most often give this tour only to men. The first time I told my husband the story, he said, I can't believe you turned down the chance to have your picture taken on the president's toilet. But of course, my husband went to Marquette. Now, your UConn degree will open doors for you all over the world. Be prepared to step through those doors. Unless, of course, you're on Air Force One at 35,000 feet, then wait till you land. And join the Alumni Association. You'll be eligible in about 35 minutes. Last December, my husband and I were invited to the White House Christmas party. It was open bar. They served Sam Adams, appropriately enough. Drinking free beer at the White House, you think, Now these are my tax dollars at work. We chatted with President and Mrs. Bush. On the way out, we retrieved our coats, and the coat check lady said she was a UConn fan. The coat check room, the one they used for the coat check, was actually the White House movie theater. She said, "Would we like to come in?" Another door opens. She guided me to the president's seat, front row, right next to the wall. We couldn't resist, my husband and I, discreetly rummaging for loose change in the red cushions. Now every candidate pledges to bring change to the White House. Perhaps this is what they mean. When I was with the New York Liberty, we played our games in Madison Square Garden. One evening, I left the locker room and in the hallway ran into Justin Timberlake. He was performing that evening. He walked over to me and said, "Hi, Rebecca, I'm Justin." He said, "I really enjoyed watching you play for UConn when I was a little kid." But somewhere, some grown-up is now telling him, "I liked you in NSYNC when I was a kid." And while you guys won't admit it, some of you had NSYNC posters on your walls. President Hogan told me earlier that his favorite was Joey Fatone. The lesson is not that time flies by, although you'll discover that it does, but that whoever you are, whether you are an international rock star or working at the International House of Pancakes, like many Marquette grads, younger people are watching you. When I was a kid, I was foolish enough to think that I could play professional basketball in the U.S., silly enough to think I could participate in the Olympics, sufficiently delusional to believe I might one day broadcast ball games for a living. In those days, a girl didn't get her number on a wall, unless it was preceded by "for a good time call." But people, many people over many years, changed that. Some of them are now on that wall. When I was in the fifth grade, a teacher said to me, "Rebecca, I'm really worried about you. Your grades are fine, but you need to dress more like a girl. You need to act more like a girl." Now, I was the only girl playing with all the boys at recess, playing soccer or basketball or whatever, so I would wear jeans and a t-shirt and sneakers. And I was the only girl sitting with all the boys at lunch because they were my friends. And looking back, I just think I was way ahead of my time. But when I told my mother what my teacher said, she marched me back to school, and fortunately, the teacher wasn't there. Fortunate for the teacher. My mom eventually got me removed from that class. Well, thank God my mother supported me, encouraged me, believed in me. Thank God she accepted and very quickly embraced my decision to go to UConn. Thank God all your parents did the same. I hope to raise my daughters to believe they can be anything they want to be. Well, anything except a Yankee fan. My husband owes me $5. I told him I could get booed in Gamble Pavilion. A few months ago, I asked my 3-year-old daughter what she was going to be when she grew up. She looked at me like it was the dumbest question she'd ever heard and replied, "A grown-up." It was the right answer. After all, my question was, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" The question should have been, "Who are you going to be when you grow up?" As you graduate, everyone is asking you, "What are you going to do?" After college, "What do you do?" replaces "What's your major?" as the icebreaker at every party. But don't ever mistake what you do for who you are. And that's the question I pose to you today. More important than what are you going to do, who are you going to be? What will you care about? How will you treat others? Will you do the right thing, even when it isn't easy? I understand that people will always associate me with basketball. I'm 6'4", after all, with a funny hat, 6'5". And I cherish my 4 years at UConn. But I'm happiest watching my daughters dancing in their diapers in the kitchen. You talk about dance off with your pants off. People say college is the best 4 years of your life, but I can tell you on this Mother's Day, they are not. The best years of your life are still ahead of you. That's why they call this commencement. It's time to realize your dreams. It's time to change the world. The other day, my 3-year-old sat frowning on our front stoop, God bless you, with her head in her hands and a new kite at her feet. I asked her what she was doing, and she said, "Waiting for wind." I assured her it would be windy later, and without looking up, she said, "But later takes a very long time." Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2008, later has arrived. You've been waiting for wind your whole lives, and I'm afraid I've provided it with a long-winded address. Now it's time for you to fly. Reach for lofty places. Soar through open spaces. Those aren't my words. They're Michael Bolton's. I didn't get to attend my graduation. Thank you for the privilege of attending yours.